You to come and be a part of our Christmas Eve service. We're going to have a special service. This message series is called Then Hope Came. And we're just kind of taking a look at hope. How many of you need some hope? I think we all do. Last week we talked about the certainty of hope and that biblical hope is certainty. It's not wishy-washy. It's not wishful thinking. It's not some vague possibility. It is a certainty. Both in the Hebrew and the Greek, it really brings out the fact that the hope that God speaks of in his word is a hope that you can be sure of. It is a hope that it involves certainty. But sometimes when we talk about hope, and we are usually talking about the hope of heaven and the hope that God brings. And that hope sometimes can be, it can seem so far away and so distant and so far down the road. And I want to talk to you tonight, or today, I should say, about the nearness of hope, that hope is more immediate. You can experience hope right now. We're going to be in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, if you want to turn with me there. Lamentations, chapter 3. There you go. Sound guy. Lamentations, chapter 3. So let me just give you a little bit about this book. Lamentations is written by Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is not described as the author here, but experts and scholars have over the just in looking at the writings, have determined that that Jeremiah is the writer of this book, and there's a lot of evidence that points to that. Well, one of the things he says in chapter 1, now keep in mind, this is a book of lament, okay? A book of lamentations. And in chapter 1, in verse 1, he starts off by just saying this, how lonely sits the city that was full of people. So the city was once full of people. The city he's talking about is Jerusalem. And Jeremiah, as he walks through the streets of Jerusalem, his city, God's city, the city of David, he saw nothing but pain and suffering and desolation and destruction. This was on the wake of the Babylonian invasion in 586 BC. And so the city was in ruins, and the people were decimated. They were devastated. They were losing hope that they would survive this. And Jeremiah, he's struggling with all the suffering that he's seeing. And so that's where we get this title, Lament. In fact, before it was called Lamentations, it was a Hebrew word, Ika, which means alas or how. And it's basically just a person who would just say, why, how in the world could this happen? It was a sort of an expression of lament. And he knew, Jeremiah knew, exactly why Jerusalem had fallen and exactly why the Babylonians came and took over. It was their own doing. When you think back to a book like the book of Job, Job went through all this difficulty and struggle, and he couldn't figure out why. Well, Jeremiah, they're going through this struggle, and he knew exactly why. I've been reading in the book of Isaiah, and in Isaiah 40, actually from 40 on, he shares this prophecy that the Babylonians would come. And see, the Babylonians was God's judgment. The Babylonian invasion was God's judgment on his people. Why? Because his people, they had turned their hearts away from him. And so So here they are, and they were experiencing this judgment of God, and the results were devastating. The young men and the young women were cut down by the sword. There's these descriptions of the children going hungry and just all kinds of awful things that you see in Lamentations chapter 4. And so they felt like all hope was lost. And so in chapter 3, though, in the midst of all this suffering and loss and difficulty and struggling, there sits these just few verses. And these verses are like this beacon of light that's shining in the darkness. And we're going to take a look at them. It's a message of hope for anyone suffering under the consequences of their own sin, or suffering under the consequences of the sin of others. It's the pain is so evident in Jeremiah's writings here. You're going to pick up on that really quickly. The situations seem absolutely hopeless. And so somehow he finds some hope in the Lord through all this. Let's read. We're going to be in chapter 3, starting in verse 17. He says this, "My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall." Verse 20, "My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." So Jeremiah, he is grieving, and he's asking the question that I think many of us ask, and that's, how can I have, how can I get through today? How can I have hope today? Sometimes the kind of hope we understand from Scripture is this hope of heaven, this hope that seems so distant and so far down the road. And there's this great hope, and we talked about it last week. Last week we talked about God has made us right with Christ, and through faith we come to him. We trust him as Lord and Savior, and we are made right with Christ, and that is the great hope. Amen? And we can rest in that. But then there's this struggle that we have, and we need to know the nearness of hope when we're in the middle of what Jeremiah is in the middle of. And some of us will never experience something that devastating, but I think all of us have gone through things, and probably in the days ahead, just give it some time, and we'll go through some things. But we have a nearer and we have a more immediate hope that's not far down the road. And this kind of hope is the hope that answers this question. How am I going to get through today? How am I going to get through today? And this is the kind of hope that wakes us up and pulls us out. It wakes us up and pulls us out, and it speaks a better word than the words we're believing. How many of you need a better word than the word that you're believing? Okay, good. One or two. All right, we're good. This kind of word that God gives us here, it paints just a brighter picture. It's very optimistic. It's very encouraging. You might be convinced that things are sort of hopeless, and that they are not going to work out, but this kind of hope, it speaks something differently. And you'll see here in a minute, Jeremiah says it was his soul that was speaking. That's how deep this was. And so this kind of hope, it makes your story a comeback story. And what we see in Scripture is we see a lot of comeback stories, don't we? I mean, when we look at these characters in the Bible, think about Joseph and all the things. Joseph was thrown in a pit, left to die by his brothers, sold off to Egypt as a slave. He had every reason to be hopeless, but he was like the comeback kid, all right? Think about Nehemiah's story. It was a comeback story. Think about, I mean, we can go down the line. David, Elijah, Moses. God gave these comeback stories to encourage us. As we read through Scripture, we can get encouraged and we can know that there's hope for us in the midst of our own trials and difficulties. Well, Jeremiah, so here we have Jeremiah, and he is struggling. And you can see it, you can hear it in his words throughout this entire book. It's not the easiest read, okay? It's not the most encouraging word most of the time, because it's more of him just lamenting the entire time. But, you know, he's saying all is lost. We've lost everything. This is sort of like, you know, what some of us go through sometimes. We feel like there's just no way out. How are they going to get through this today? And look again with me. Let's look at verse 17. Look what he says here. He says, my soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. And I think you know what that's like. I know that I know what that's like. Your energy is gone. Everything seems like a struggle. The things that were so easy for you before, you're struggling with, because you're just in this bad state. And then he says in verse 18, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. See, it's kind of like this is where we are, where our circumstances have overridden our faith. And the difficulty and struggle sort of overshadows our faith, and we just think that there's no way out, and things seem impossible. So when you go through this deep struggle, I want you to just be encouraged today and know that there is hope, and there is a brighter day tomorrow. And have you ever noticed that when you're in situations like that, your memory starts to kind of just keep replaying and replaying and reminding you of how hopeless things are, right? Well, that's where Jeremiah was. And he says in verse 19, remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. Now, wormwood and gall, these are bitter herbs. And so he's being reminded of this bitter herb, this difficulty, this struggle. Verse 20, he says this, my soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. And I think, you know, some people would say in verse 21 is when he starts to kind of turn around a little bit. But I think in verse 20, when he starts to bow down, when his soul starts to bow down within him, here's one of the things that I've learned in my own walk with the Lord. When I go low, he will lift me up. When I try to go high, he will bring me down, okay? And so what happens is Israel, is their hearts had strayed from God. They were saying, I'm the boss of me, right? We talk about this a lot. And they were living their own lives. They forgot about God, okay? They were lifting themselves up. And through this destruction, God was bringing them low where they needed to be. And And so here's Jeremiah, and he says my soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. And you know what that's like. It's constantly replaying this in your mind, the difficulty. Will I get out of this thing? Then we see this shift, and Jeremiah begins to bounce back. Look at verse 21. But this I call to mind. And he's like, you know, when I've lost peace, when I have forgotten what happens, when I've forgotten who God is, when I have forgotten where my faith should take me, I stop and I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And what does he call to mind? Look, so what's going on is he's changing his hopeless state, right? And look what he says. he's calling to mind. What is he calling to mind? Look at verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Now, how in the world can you say that when you're watching children starve on the streets, your city is destroyed, and you're now in exile, you're now basically the slave of the Babylonians? And now what he's saying, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that? When do you believe that? When life is good? Or do you believe that in the difficulty? Do you believe that when things are always great? Is that the only time that you believe in the steadfastness, the steadfast love of God? Or do you believe that even when you go through the trials? And so he says in verse 23, they are new, talking about his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. How in the world can he say that in the middle of all of this? It's mind-blowing. He's saying, you are faithful, God. I know that you are faithful. Look what he says in verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. And he directs his hope at the Lord. And this, again, I just want to remind you, this is an immediate hope. This is not some kind of far distant hope. This is a near hope. And so I guess the question is, how do we find that kind of hope in our experiences like this? And I think that someone needs to hear this today. I think that there's probably some people in this room that need to hear in the immediate and near hope of God. Amen. When hope has perished and your endurance is gone and you lost all hope, where does that put you? And then I think about this steadfast love of the Lord, that it never ceases and his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. I read a story this past week of a woman. Her name was Ann Turley. She lost her husband and her only two children in a car accident in 2006. It was a cold winter day in Washington, D.C., and a tractor trailer lost control, veered into oncoming traffic, and killed everyone in her family except for her. She wasn't with them. It happened very close to Christmas. And you can imagine, how in the world are you going to find hope in that kind of devastation? Well, she had to pick up the pieces, and she had to try to find her way. And Anne was a follower of Christ, and she did feel absolutely hopeless. And here's how she said she began to find hope. She says, I just started thanking God for the small things. If I heard a bird sing, I would thank him. If I saw a child playing, I would thank him. I thanked him for the sunny sky. I thanked him for a flower that I watched bloom on my back porch. Every small word of thanks became a reminder of God's steadfast love for me. He restored my hope, and he can restore yours too. Isn't that great? Look, there's some people in here who need to hear this. You know, when we get around the holidays, I think this is probably what made me want to do a series on hope. When we get around the holidays, I tend to talk to a lot of people who just have a hard time around the holidays. And it's because of loss. It's because of struggle. And for some people, it's a time of great celebration. But it's very interesting because for others, it's a time that they're very sensitive to because of the loss that they've experienced. And I always want to be sensitive to them during this time of the year. But listen, there is hope in the name of Jesus. And there's a hope here and now. And there's a hope forevermore. And this hope is certain. This hope is sure. This hope is immediate. This hope is near. That's my God. He provides that kind of hope. And I remember when I was sharing this with Melanie just yesterday, you know, when you come out of, I literally just realized this the other day. She to this day makes fun of me because it took me, was it 4 years before I proposed to you? So it took me about 4 years before I proposed to her, which evidently is too long. Just to let y'all know, okay? But there was just a lot of fear. And I just recently realized what that fear was. The fear was is that I went through, I saw my parents divorce. Right? And so I think through that, I lost some of that hope in marriage because of seeing just how, what that did to our family. And so when we talk about hope, I want you to think about that kind of situation. And when you're reminded of things that have happened to you before, and you're fearful, look, God's word is true, okay? And he can get you to a place of hope. And so what happened with when I was sharing this with Melanie is I said, you know, I realize now that I just didn't believe that couples can stay together. And it's interesting, last week we had Mark and Leslie share a story of how God restored hope for their marriage. I talked to a couple this morning who have divorced and who are coming back together and bringing their marriage back together. Why? Because they're finding that there is hope. Okay, and I don't know what your situation is, but I do know this. That God can give you immediate hope, can give you immediate hope. And here's some of the things that we do at Bear Creek when we're trying to. Here's what I like to say. We at Bear Creek want to see all people saved, healed, and free, and living out their purpose in Christ. Well, what does that mean? It means that we believe so much that there is hope in Christ for every situation, whatever it is, okay, for your marriage, for relationships, for the different things that you may struggle with in this world. And so we believe that in him you can find healing. Healing from what? Healing from the effects of sin, the way that sin has affected your past. And you can find freedom. Freedom from what? Well, freedom from the lies that you have believed all your life. Because the truth can only be found in Him. And so there is great hope in knowing that God saves you. He can help you make peace with your past. And He can free you from the lie. There's just so much hope in that. And I think that that's one of our passions up here, is to see all people saved, healed, and free. And I say it all the time, there's a lot of people in the church who are saved, but there's not a whole lot who are healed from the effects of sin and living free in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your word today. It never returns void. Thank You for what Jeremiah teaches us through his desperation and struggle. But in the end, we can take a look at Your steadfast love, be thankful that You are a faithful God, and we can put our hope in You. And Father, for that person that's in here, who has never trusted You as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that You'll grab hold of their hearts today and You'll help them to make a personal decision to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to end early today. And Chad usually doesn't come back in until like, oh, here he is. Oh, no. Okay, Chris is going to go get him. Chad usually doesn't come back in here until about 5 till, because he knows that I'm usually going past time. So, let me share with you just a couple of things that are coming up. This coming Tuesday, we're going to have our food distribution, just one of our food distributions. It's this Tuesday in Wheatland. You might know it as Whiskey Flats, just down the road. And so there's that. Then, let's see, the third Thursday of this month, can't remember what number day that is, the 19th. Who knows that off the top of their head? That is our second food distribution that we will have here. And I'll tell you, it has been so wonderful.